time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and we're on again, that's for sure. 11:15 and a half, that's the time. And today is what? The 23rd of August. Please, August, don't go away. Stay here a while, because after August comes the month containing the first day of fall. And now the first day of fall would be what? About September, I don't have it written down here. I don't have my almanac in front of me. When is the first day of fall? Is it September 22nd? My birthday is the 21st, and it's usually right around my birthday. But I don't remember when I was born, but I remember hearing about the year I was born and how hot and terrible it was. In September, dry, extremely hot. And so people that were born when I was born had mothers suffering from the heat. Oh, my goodness. Now, I was born at home, and I still have and sleep in the same bed I was born on. Doesn't bring back any memories, though. But my mother had worked at the Boston store in Mansfield, and before she was married, bought a big curly maple set of, you know, mirrors, dresser, chest of drawers, bench, rocking chair, all in the curly maple or bird's eye maple. And she went to housekeeping or got married, and that was the furniture. But then when my dad went to the Navy in the war, my mother had to store all this furniture away because we had to move to another house, and we couldn't keep all that furniture with us, so we stored it for the duration of the war. And I always thought it was so great to get that furniture out of storage. Did you ever run anything like that? But that was a long time ago. 11:18 is the time right now. So are there any subjects that you'd like to bring up? Suppose you were running for mayor. Or maybe running for councilman or mayor. What would your campaign... What would you want to put in your campaign to encourage people maybe to vote for you? Or what would you put into your campaign to maybe work on for it to become reality? If you were running for mayor, what would you do? What could you campaign on? No, if somebody's running for mayor, they could all call me too. But what if you're running for office? What would you campaign on, and what would you do about it? You know, it's easy to say, I'll do this and I'll do that, but then you've got to do it. Or you've got to try. You've got to get help, cooperation. And like they always talk about, on the other side of the aisle. That means one side is Democrat, one side is Republican, and never the two shall meet. Although at times when people campaign, oh, I'm going to cooperate with the other side of the aisle. But what is it in a small town like Marion, what is it that would designate the difference between parties? Because we're not a national thing. Are there progressives in Marion, or conservatives, or liberals in the Marion city government? What would that have to do with Marion city government, a small town, being liberal, conservative, or whatever? But yet we have two parties, and they all have their... What? And I've never heard yet, really, concretely, what one party believes in. You know, so, okay, what do the Democrats in Marion believe in? What is their platform? What is the Republican platform? Or if you're an independent, what's your platform? And so it goes. 11:20 is the time. It's Friday? Yeah, it is Friday. We have that little session coming up about 12:15 to 1 where we get, we get intensely talkative with one another, with Brandy Downs, Scott, and myself. It should be interesting today. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
Yes.
I'm not going to get political on you. I was just driving by Whirlpool. I never get out here. And I come on a corner in front of Whirlpool. And I remember as a kid, my dad worked there. And there was a dog food there. And I remember the smell of the horses and the clattering of the cans across the road and that.
Yes.
On that, it was a metal thing, and all the cans went across the road. What was the name of that place? What happened to that?
Now, here's the exact... The cans were made by Continental Can Company, and they went on a conveyor over across the street to the Kennel Ration Company that made Kennel Ration dog food. And out in back were all these old horses that the Amish got rid of, or somebody else. And those poor horses were just able to get around. And what they were doing, they would kill them and skin them, and that meat went into dog food.
Yeah, I remember the smell. It was horrible.
Oh, yes. And kids,
I haven't been out there in years.
And ornery kids used to jump over the fence and try to ride those horses. And going through town, here would become these cattle trucks full of horses, and those poor horses were looking at you like, they're going to kill me. Oh, my.
So the last joy in their life was you kids riding them.
Yeah, oh, my. It was something else. But those poor horses being... And eventually they got rid of the horses.
Yeah. I haven't been out there for years, and it just...
Well, you know...
With me driving by there.
Now, here's something that most people wouldn't know. That company right there is not involved in dog food anymore. They're in the, they make containers, out of heavy paper containers. Or they make the McDonald's French fry boxes.
Well, here's something else you don't know. My sister used to work in there.
Okay.
And when they'd have the contests for the peel-off stickers.
Yes.
I guess they had security out there and made sure that, no one was messing with those boxes and those stickers at all.
Ah, yes. Well, another thing, too. The Continental Can Company that supplied the cans to Kennel Ration, 10 of their executives were flying into Marion. Remember the crash? They were
really?
They were killed east of Marion. Their plane went on a nosedive and buried into the ground.
Oh, wow.
And they were all from Continental Can Company.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one of the most tragic things ever to happen around here.
Boy, that's sad.
Yes.
But do you remember that sound, that clinking going across the road?
The what now?
The sound of the cans going across the road.
Yes, I can hear that. Yes, yes.
Yeah. That dog food was dirt cheap, and we had a dog that ate that, and it just stunk as bad as those horses.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
my.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thanks for calling. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, yes, the days of kennel ration. You know, a lot of people retired from there. But that was a big company. It still is, isn't it? Kennel ration, do they still make dog food? I don't know. My wife, Jeannie, is the dog food buyer in our house. But, I suppose there's kennel ration yet. And there were, remember when in Marion they made Master Mix cattle feed at, where was it? Central Soya? Yeah, they made Master Mix cattle feed? Sure. Now, in that cattle feed, now here's an interesting thing. When you took your grain in, whether it was soybeans or corn, they stuck a prod down into your truck to see how much foreign material they would find in there, and then they would deduct so many pennies from you, or dollars, according to how much dirt or foreign objects you had in your truck. Well, when they dumped that out, they saved all that junk, you know, weeds and different things. And you know what they did with it? They put it in Master Mix cattle feed. That's right. I saw it. They took me on a tour once to Central Soya and showed me the foreign material they were mixing with their cattle feed. The same stuff, you might say, that you were being deducted for, they were adding weight to their feed. But that's nothing. I was up in Toledo once and watched them loading a ship with soybeans. And you wouldn't believe the soybeans coming out of the chute into the ship. All this dust was flying up. I mean, oh my goodness, you could hardly see the soybeans. So I asked the person that worked there, I said, all this stuff, these beans must be dirty. They said, well, no, we're allowed so much foreign material in the soybeans in that ship. We're allowed, you know, so much, and that's where all that was coming. But it was the same stuff that a farmer was being deducted for, and they were putting back in the soybeans and shipping it to Japan or wherever, allowed so much foreign material. But that's a way of life. That's the way things are in the real life. Kind of interesting. And if you're not in the real life sector and suddenly find yourself there, it's really an oddity. You find it. Is life really like this? Yep, the real part of life. 11:28 is the time, and how are you doing today? Hopefully, you're all feeling well on this Friday. Where are you going to eat today? Now, we know that the restaurants are all filled up every Friday night. And why is it? Is it because you get paid on Friday? Or is it because it's tradition to go and eat out on a Friday after, you know, working so hard, perhaps during the week? You have to go eat. Why don't we go out to a restaurant? Now, what is your favorite restaurant to go to eat on a Friday night? They all seem to be full. Do any of you have a preference? Have you noticed, too, out at the China, what is it? Pandora, not Pandora's Box, but what do they call it? The new Chinese fast food place coming. They're going to work on that. You know, they're going to have that up before you know it. But they got to pour the base first, and then the concrete. You know, up she goes, and no time at all, they'll be, what's the name of it now? Pandora's, no, not China. Well, what, you know what I mean. I forget so fast. 11:29, we're coming up on 11:30 break. Then we'll come back and like to hear from you. What do you think of the new diagonal parking in downtown Marion? Now, this is coming up all over town. People asking one another, what do you think of that? most people probably say, well, I don't know what it's like. I've never been there. I purposely have gone past there a couple of times. I didn't see any wrecks or anything out of the ordinary. But maybe I'd like to get a chair and sit there for a while and watch. I think, wouldn't that be interesting? If we took some chairs and sat there in front of the county building just to watch and be entertained by people parking there. Now, that's an idea, isn't it? How many of you like to bring your lawn chairs and sit in front of the county building?
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and we've got about 29 minutes to go before noon today. So do you have any topics you'd like to discuss today? What about taking a lawn chair and sitting there in front of the county building and watching people park? Of course, that might make the people parking nervous. Or you might get you might get cited for loitering. But I think it might be kind of fun. Or you could sit in front of, maybe you could sit on the wall in front of City Hall and watch across the street. Oh, yes. Okay, what else do I have to ask you today for a question? Let me see. Oh, yeah. There's a street in Marion named after a legislative body. In fact, there are two streets named after legislative bodies in Marion. What are they? 740-383-9944. Put that in your thinking cap a while. Or there's a city street named after a burial yard. A prominent burial yard. Or cemetery, as you might call it. Okay, and I often wonder, too, speaking of street names, how did, now, a native Marianite will pronounce it Alani. They'll add an E or an A in there, A-L-A-A, or O-L-A-N-E-Y. But it's spelled Alani, O-L-N-E-Y, O-L-N-E-Y. But how many of you say Alani? Because it's hard to say Alani. It's easier to say Alani. And that's the same way with a lot of things that is pronounced every day. It's pronounced the easiest way possible. Now, in certain areas in the South, ooh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
That would be Senate Street, and the ones you ask about flowers, I think it would be Rose and Lilac.
What? Hey, you're right on the, boy, you got it.
And I've been thinking about something else.
Yes.
I worry about the farms coming on. The average farmer is 66 years old, and it seems like every year my people here have to have more and more farms to do because people are, you know, dropping out. I just wondered where the young farmers are around this area.
Well, you know, that's a good point you bring up.
That's what I thought maybe someday you could talk about.
Yeah.
That, the farm things.
We need young farmers coming on because the old farmers, well, they're selling out.
I know.
And not passing it on to maybe some of their family that really don't want to farm anymore. It's so expensive.
That's right.
Now, our young farmers, you know, are spending $500,000 on equipment, with, you know, for the blink of an eye.
price a new combine.
Oh, my. And then after you get that combine, it is so full of electronics that you've got to have a specialist come to make any repairs.
That's for sure.
Oh, my. Isn't it something? It's a whole new world of agriculture.
But I do worry about, that most of the farmers are getting up in age in this area.
Yeah, that's right, they are. You betcha. I can name quite a few.
Yeah. Even my boy, he's eligible for Social Security.
Is that right already?
Yes.
Oh, my. Isn't it something? That, yeah.
Yeah, this is Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy, yeah, your boy's going to town, though, yet.
Yes. But I got a grandson that's farming with his dad, but my goodness, I think about that a lot.
Aren't you glad you don't have that debt they've got? But think of all these dealers now, like John Deere and all those lines of equipment that, you know, the money, oh.
I know.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's a different world out there.
Well, I just thought sometime you could spend a little bit of time on some of these farm problems.
Yes, right. Every day I watch the farm report on television channel 68.1.
Uh-huh.
And that's out of Mansfield.
Right.
The U.S. Farm Report. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
I don't mean to take your time.
Well, that's, I'm glad you did.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah,
that's so true. Our farmers are getting older. And, you know, it's a big thing. Unless these farmers have cultured or trained their young boys or girls to be interested in or study agriculture, you know, and have the credit available to buy new equipment, especially the larger equipment. And it's not like, oh, those rich farmers. Those rich farmers probably owe more than you could ever imagine. I mean, a farmer is not rich and can go out and plop down $500,000 in cash for anything. Yeah, there's a lot of credit granted out there. Farmland is worth more and more all the time, of course. I can remember way back when I was farm director in the early 1970s, land got up to $2,500 an acre, and people would say, you can't make any money off a farmland at $2,500 an acre. Well, a lot of them couldn't, and they went bankrupt. But what are we going to do today? We've got to have farmers keeping on. Now, I watch in this farm report every day, I watch one young farmer, very young. He had investments of $1 million at least. And he, you know, was saying that how much more complicated farming is. I mean, technical. It used to be we could plow and disc it up and maybe rake it and make a smooth bed out of it and come along with and plant it, whether beans or corn or wheat, sometimes oats, sometimes alfalfa. But now, to do that, you've got to have bought more acres so that, you know, the more acres you have, the more output you have, maybe the more money you can take in to help pay your loans, and it goes on and on. And so farmland is very valuable, and a lot of farmland has been bought up by the younger sons of farmers who have been around a long, long time. But it takes some encouragement and some confidence to buy this land and increase the amount of farming you do. You don't farm 100 acres anymore. You farm 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 acres. It's really something. And at one time, we had over 1,000 farms in Marion County, but now we're down to a few hundred farms because of the fact that the old timers are getting older, and hopefully they're passing it along to their siblings, or their, not their siblings, but their kids. But how many kids are taking up farming? Are they discouraged by their parents having, you know, to spend so much money and to worry about the weather, like this year, example, couldn't get the corn planted on time. Now, there is some good corn out there. Hopefully, we do not have an early freeze or frost. We do not want that for soybeans, because that would do our soybeans, and we want a late season, because we planted soybeans as late as well as corn. And usually about the time of the Richwood Independent Fair is when the soybeans are maturing. They're turning color. Well, a lot of them won't be turning color that quick this year. Let's hope that we do not have an early freeze, and that these farmers will be able to get a certain amount of output from these beans. Now, here's something else that's taking place. How do you measure your crop? It used to be you estimated so many bushels an acre for most everything. But now they're going to 3-foot square patches and counting for soybeans. They're counting the number of pods in a 3-square-foot area of soybeans to determine then what the total output of that field will be. And that output, of course, is controlled by the number of pods, filled pods, it is, on a soybean plant. Now, soybeans are an interesting thing. They produce a lot of their own nitrogen. Yes, that's right. They are one plant that can produce nitrogen. But then there are also, you know, the little diseases that go along with soybeans occasionally. Things called nematodes. And, oh, it goes on and on. The risks in farming are great. And to be a farmer, you've got to have a positive mind. You've got to have a good outlook on everything. Even though the weather may get you down, you can't get out, and you can't get your... It's like a farmer not being able to plant is like you not being able to get your paycheck at the end of the week, or at the end of 2 weeks, or whatever. It's like you can't get near the office where they can pay you. Same way, when the weather comes in, we can't plant, they can't harvest, they can't get paid. And so it is. Now, I heard, I think it was today or yesterday, where Mexico bought a large number of our soybeans. Yeah, you haven't heard that on the news, have you? But it's in the farm news that Mexico has bought soybeans from the United States. That's good news. We need soybean buyers. We need corn buyers. We need buyers for pigs. And we need to avoid the African swine fever called ASF. African swine fever. If that ever invaded the United States, it would cause a lot of problems among your pork. But now, people that work in the plants where hogs are produced and raised, they've got to be very careful they do not bring any disease in from anywhere else. So you don't go into a hog production facility wearing your day-in and day-out shoes. You must wear a covering on them so you do not bring any disease in. Everything is subject, just like humans. We're all subject to disease. And humans, now, maybe that's why in China and Japan, you see so many people wearing masks over their face. Now, is that to prevent them spreading colds and flu? Or is that to prevent them from getting it? I would think most of it's preventing them from getting or inhaling somebody else's germs. Now, how many of us would go around without a red face wearing a mask around our nose and mouth? People would come up, hey, something wrong with you? But in China and Japan, that's commonplace to wear a mask. I don't know what their disease rate of any kind would be in China or Japan or any other countries that wear masks. It'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it, to know if that is actually preventing the spread of disease by wearing those masks. You ever thought of that? 11:45 is the time. We'll break here for our last break. Like to hear from you today. If you have anything you'd like to talk about today, bring it up. If you were running for mayor, what would your campaign be? Well, I hear a siren out there, so it must be something going on somewhere.
Hey, Charlie, did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie, what is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and 11:46 is the time. We've got about 12 and a half minutes left in this program today, and time for you to call. You know, he mentioned Jack Kellogg. Jack was one of the nicest guys that I've known. Now, I remember when Jack's wife used to, when I worked at the cemetery, she used to jog through the cemetery every day. But unfortunately, of course, she passed away. And Jack, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yes, if I were running for mayor every Sunday, everybody would get a free ice cream sundae.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Right. That's provided I also was a dentist.
Yes.
Hey, just wanted to call in and remind everybody tomorrow, 10 to 4, is the Marion Airfoil's open house.
Oh, that's right. Good weather,
so,
too.
Looks like the weather's going to be great. Come out there, have a hot dog, have a hamburger, and enjoy remote-controlled airplanes,
yes.
Helicopters, all kinds of things.
It'll be buzzing around, that's for sure. And that's mm-hmm. right near the lake, the Tallgrass Trail Lake.
Right off of Her Road.
Yes.
So, gee whiz, there's so much stuff. They'll have flight simulators out there. They'll have buddy boxes where you can be with an experienced pilot, and you can fly, and they'll make corrections if you make a little mistake.
Well, yeah, a quick correction.
Yeah. But, no, it's a great thing for families. It's always been good to bring the kids out. Kids just love looking
sure.
at these airplanes, and adults, too. And have a hot dog, have a hamburger, come out, fly around, and see what it's all about. And it'll get you ready for the fly-in, because the airfoils will be at the fly-in doing drone races.
Okay.
And smaller indoor-type aircraft flying around.
Okay, so that, boy, you know, Ed, speaking of drones, some of the newscasts now are saying, a little subtitle, photography by a drone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. There's, you know, it's really taken off. When you consider the cost of a helicopter and its maintenance.
Oh, yes.
And then getting somebody licensed to fly one of these quadcopters, drones, whatever you want to call them, it's really, really cost effective.
Well, that's for sure. And you started it all when you gave Lady Justice the time of the day.
I didn't start nothing other than somebody really disturbed asking me, who gave you permission to fly there?
Yeah.
That was the only thing I started.
Yeah.
So too many Chicken Littles are out there.
Oh.
But anyway, tomorrow, 650 Her Road. Very, okay. Very easy to find. And
yeah, I tell you what would be hard to find, the number 650.
Yeah, you'll see the sign for Marion Airfoils. And you'll see tents and all of that kind of stuff, and planes flying around in the air. And, you know, take your kids out there. They'll love you forever.
It can be reached off of Route 309 or Route 95 called Her Road, H-E-R-R.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe that's the first, on 309, it's the first road to the left before you get into Big Island.
I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, so should be a good time.
Yeah, there's Hulk Road somewhere out there, too. I think Hulk Road would be west of Her Road.
That very well could be.
The only reason I remember Hulk Road, when I worked at WDIF, our transmitter was on Hulk Road.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I think that tower is gone, along with the transmitter, of course.
Yeah. And then also, don't forget, we still have tickets for really, I call it a historic VIP reception.
Yes, for sure.
It's only a $50 donation, and you'll be able to meet one of the few remaining Tuskegee Airmen. He'll be there with the plane that he flew, and there's a mobile theater, and there's also a 15-minute documentary about him, and there's going to be some mighty, mighty fine food out there.
Okay, the lady on television whose father was a member of the Tuskegee Airmen?
Oh, I think you mentioned that. She's on ABC, Good Morning America or something.
Yeah,
or
quite famous
Robin,
lady. Robin, yes.
Yeah, I don't quite remember her name.
Yeah, her dad was a member of that squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, darn few World War II veterans there, and we also were hoping to have a table. Well, we will have a table for World War II veterans to sit and join Dr. Harold Brown, and you can all stop by and thank him for their service.
Very good. Okay.
So
that's September the 13th. Yeah, the 13th.
Yep, September 13th, and you can get those tickets by going on to wingswheelsmarion.org, wingswheelsmarion.org. But the most exciting thing is a lucky ticket holder is going to get a flight in that legendary P-51 Mustang.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be something?
And that's a one person out of 150 will be the ticket holder.
Yeah, hopefully that
ticket holder.
Hopefully that person will be able to withstand the flight in a fighter plane.
I don't know how many barrel rolls or evasive maneuvers they will do.
They probably don't do any.
You might pull a half a G or something or other.
Yeah.
But it's just something that some older folks would really go, wow.
Yes,
so,
I guess so. You know what's
tickets.
What's intriguing?
Scott, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've got some tickets up there that...
That's right, here at the radio.
Happy to, take the donations.
That's for sure. Okay.
So anyways, everybody have a great weekend at the Airfoils Open House and whatever other activities you may be partaking in.
Right on. Okay. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's a... and I've been out there before to the Airfoils show, and that's quite something. I think the last time we had some rain, but it looks like it's going to be a good day tomorrow, and you would enjoy it, and the kids would get a big bang out of it, seeing these planes and doing the maneuvers they can do. It's the epitome of radio control. 11:54 is the time. We got a few minutes left. Anyone... got any idea what you would like to, if you were running for mayor, what would you propose? Now we have, excuse me, we have people running for mayor already, but you yourself, if you were to run for mayor, what would you campaign for? Interesting question, huh? And so it goes. I would like to go back to the early or mid-1970s and look up the Marion Stars when the streetscape program was proposed to modernize downtown Marion. It would be quite interesting, wouldn't it, to see who approved the streetscape program. Who was involved in the approval of streetscape? And how did we get the money to bring about the streetscape program? The millions of dollars it took to replace our utilities like water lines, gas lines, electric lines, and so forth. And interesting, but the one of the interesting ways to see that zigzag pattern is from the air, to fly over downtown Marion and look down. It's zig and zag. And when you zig and zag, it's hard to get a straight pathway in any direction. And of course, downtown on center, it'd have to be, it's one way west until you get out farther east. 11:56 is the time. Okay, what are you going to do for a meal tonight? What's your favorite place to eat? And have you been downtown to get an ice cream cone? I'm sure that with this warm weather, boy, they hit it just right in their grand opening to have it so stifling hot, and so that people would really extra enjoy an ice cream cone. All right, what else is going to be opening up? Well, the brewery, the Marion Brewing Company. Now, do you go in there? You don't drink in there, I'm sure. Is it a carry-out? I don't know, since I haven't been in there. They had, you know, an open house the other night. A lot of people attended that. But do you buy beer in there to drink there? Or is it a carry-out? I never got into wondering about, or maybe I wondered, but I never knew. I could go down there and find out real quick, couldn't I? On South Main Street, the Marion Brewing Company, which is a repeat title of when we had the Marion Brewing Company on Belle Fountain Avenue. And when we had conventions in Marion of Legionnaires and VFWs, they used to march out the Marion Brewing Company. And, you know, for it was kind of like a big entertainment thing. That was when it was most of that, though, was before Prohibition and after. 11:58 is the time, and I hope you have a nice weekend, that you be careful driving, and that you have a good meal. And we certainly do have enough places to eat around Marion, and it looks like more coming with the one out, what's it called, Pandas or China, you know what I mean. It will be probably under a roof in another couple of weeks, I wouldn't doubt, you know, weather permitting. 11:58 right now, and the weekend coming up. Looks like the weather's going to be decent. The airfoil show on Her Road. Now, Her Road comes off of 95 or 309 and goes across the bike trail. So you have to watch out for bicycles and as you cross the bike trail. And right there, north of the bike trail, you'll find the airfoil's airfield. And it really is interesting. Take my word for it. It's just absolutely amazing to see these radio-controlled planes and their pilots managing them on the ground. Wow. Okay, so have we accomplished anything today? Yes, one big thing we've accomplished, the fact that now I know there is the Old Men's Garden Club is now Twig 6. David Starner heads that. So that's something we've found out in this time I've been on this morning. And so, have a great weekend, a good safe weekend, wherever you go. Keep your eyes on the road and hope that car coming toward you has its eyes on the road also. That's going to do it. Have a great day, and you're listening to WWGH at 107.1 on your FM dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time
the first time? Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time, what's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I met him, when he came back to Vegas, Shecky, I want you to come on my show, and you are going to be one of the biggest things that I've ever had on my show. I did the first show, he says, you stunk. You'll never be on my show again. I said, did you remember what you said to me? But I don't care what I said to you then. Yes, I'll never forget that.
Now, wait a second. So he told you you stunk, but who booked you again?
No, he had me on a contract.
Oh, so he had
to... He signed me for so many spots.
So he had to put you on.
Well, he really didn't. He could have paid me off, you know. He had me on again.
So after he said you stunk, when you came back the second time, what was the mood there?
Well, he said you stunk worse the second time. Shecky, I want to tell you something. You were worse tonight than you were the time before. Now, I said, that's my act. That's what I'm doing intentionally. I'm intentionally stick,